Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Russian President Vladimir Putin toured a reserve for Persian leopards today to talk about restoring the leopard population and, at one point, enter a cage and pat one of them on the head. Putin has, of course, also promised to tame the threat of terrorism at the Sochi Games. He's also in Sochi today to address the International Olympic Committee and undoubtedly defend the impenetrable Ring of Steel, to which one local driver, when asked, said, "What ring?" He was responding to a question from Boston Globe reporter David Filipov, former Russian bureau chief from 1996 to 2004, who's also in Sochi today ahead of the Games, which opens this Friday. David Filipov joins us by Skype. And David, your sense of that Ring of Steel.
The city of Sochi was a remarkably relaxed place, given what I was expecting when I heard about 40,000 police and 70,000 security personnel. I'm not talking specifically about the areas where you go through a checkpoint, although there is something about them that I also want to say. I'm talking about right near those areas, out in the street, there's almost no police presence. There's none of the checkpoints or heavily armed police that you see in pretty much any other Russian city that isn't hosting the Olympics. I was really surprised to find that the people I was with in Sochi were really surprised to hear from me that I expected people to be walking around with assault rifles, which is usually what you see in Russian cities, especially in the North Caucasus.
Well, and tell us more about some of the things that have happened that sort of rang alarm bells in you.
Well, the first thing was I was having my bag searched at the door next to the entrance to a train that takes you off to any Olympic venue you want to go to. That is, once you're through there, you're in, right? Right next to that door, a guy opened up my bag halfway. I told him I had a computer. He said, "Okay, fine, you can go." Then when I went into the actual train station, everybody was friendly. Everybody was courteous. They were very professional, except that they never looked for a ticket. They never asked me for a ticket. And so I got in there without showing a ticket. And I was with a guy who didn't have an accreditation and had no right being there. And he didn't have a ticket. And the only time anyone asked us for a ticket was when we were getting off the train and trying to leave the station. That's when somebody came up and said, "Where's your tickets? How did you get on this train?"
Well, that's alarming right there, that you could even actually get on a train without a ticket.
I feel like they're working out some wrinkles. I mean, generally, the large part of the security force that I've seen so far are these lightly armed people in plum-colored jackets checking your bags through the screeners. And they've done that, like I said, very professionally, very courteously. But at one of these places, I saw some kids who seemed to be, you know, they were younger screeners, and they were playing with what looked like an iPad, laughing, telling jokes. One of them even gave the other a kiss. And I was thinking, this doesn't seem particularly serious. The fear about Russian security was that it would be too heavy-handed, too imposing, too stern, make the place seem like an armed encampment. And I can tell you this much, that this security crew that I've seen is definitely not going to leave that impression. We were driving in a car that did not have the special accreditation that allows you to get right into Olympic venues. That's a sticker that has an infinity on it, the infinity pass. It allows you to go anywhere you want. We had nothing like that. So when we were driving towards the press center, we got within about 150 feet of the entrance when a policeman told us to turn around and pointed out a spot where we could park, which was only about 25 feet away. So you're really remarkably close to this massive center. Now, I mean, I've covered a lot of places like Iraq and Afghanistan where you have terror attacks and you have concerns about suicide bombs. And that's not a particularly safe distance to have any old car parked. Now, I imagine that with the opening of the Olympics, that they'll tighten that up. And it is true that they're going to close the main roads in and out of the Olympic area on the 6th and the 7th. But the question remains how much access there will be to these areas that are very close to the secure checkpoints that ordinary people with no accreditation are going to have.
Well, and you also did hear about really tight security when it came to the locals being interviewed. The Russian officials went door to door.
Right. When they were preparing for the games in December, I think it was, basically police sent people door to door asking questions. Who are you? Who lives here with you? What do you own? What kind of car do you drive? Who visits you? Where do you go when you leave? What do you do for a living? these are all really intrusive questions. And when they finally got to a human rights lawyer who told me about this, he asked, what right do you have to ask that? Because it is true, like in the United States, you still do need a warrant to be able to force somebody to answer questions and to enter their house. But this was sort of the kind of heavy-handed security that people were expecting. And instead, what you have is this, I wouldn't call it laid back, but this relaxed, friendly group of people who joke and laugh as they check your stuff. Mm. Now, it's also true that today, for the first time, I saw a small group of riot troops in combat gear. And for the first time in my 4 or 5 days that I've been watching this, I saw Kalashnikov rifles. Until then, it's been billy clubs and revolvers neatly tucked away under those plum-colored coats.
Well, David Filipov, I hope you don't mind if we feel we have to mention that security and the threat of terrorism, this all has a special personal resonance for you. And by the way, we urge listeners who haven't to go to your Twitter account and dial back to 9/11/13 and read your exquisite tweets on the anniversary of 9/11. Your father was on the first plane to go into the World Trade Tower, Al Filipov. Took you 8 years before you spoke about it, and now you do so eloquently. I'm just wondering, I mean, here you have this convergence of, you know, Russia, a place that you've covered. You've been to Chechnya. You're from Boston, where the Boston bombers were also, you know, from the Caucasus. Your dad, you know, the victim of terrorism. Do you think this gives you a special sensitivity to the security issues? I guess I also just wonder if you ever stop wondering about this weird, sad connection that you have.
Well, I mean, if you talk about special, the first thing I did after 9/11 was go cover the war in Afghanistan. And there I met only people who had lost brothers, mothers, fathers, sons.
Yeah.
After that, I didn't feel so special anymore. And in the years, how many years has it been? 13 years since then. So many people have been killed in suicide bombs. So many Americans have lost their lives. Unfortunately, I don't feel so special about that anymore. But what does surprise me when you do that long list in Boston, the marathon bombings, Chechnya, the war I covered, 9/11, my father, the war in Afghanistan, and now we're here thinking about terror in a public place. Yeah, sometimes I wonder how it is that I got here. But the other thing is that we in Boston know as well as anybody that attack doesn't necessarily happen at the place at the time where you expect it. It can happen anywhere. And we also know that we can talk about the Russians' preparedness or lack of preparedness, but we also know that we in the United States never thought that something could happen like somebody would blow up the Boston Marathon. And then it happened, and then after that, you're aware of it. In Russia, they have a lot of experience with really, really brutal, horrible attacks by terrorists, taking hostages in theaters, school children, maternity wards. And the one thing that they definitely know is that there are people out there who will stop at nothing just to cause as much pain as possible. What you hope is that knowledge, plus the awareness that the whole world is here, not just watching, but taking part in the Olympics, is going to make them sensitive and also capable of coming up with a way to stop that.
David Filipov, Boston Globe reporter in Sochi. The opening ceremonies are this Friday. David, thanks so much for speaking with us. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
And again, on Twitter, you can find him at David Filipov, FILIPOV.